Encore with Claire O'Brien, arts and entertainment for the Midlands. With the Dean Crowe Theatre and Arts Centre Athlone, imagine the possibilities. DeanCrowTheatre.com.
Pig Brain. What about that for a theatrical title? Photography in Athlone. What's the thrill of amateur photography clubs and the skills of the artist? Just how does Eve Parnell work? Just some of what is to come on tonight's Encore. You're welcome to Midlands 103's dedicated arts show, and every Thursday night between 7 and 8 o'clock we bring you the best of what is happening in the arts in Laois, Offaly, Westmeath and occasionally even a little further afield. Encore at midlands103.com is the email address. I'd love to hear from you. And if you'd like to text in this evening, 083 3010 103 is the Lamb Brothers Midlands 103 text line. At Burr Theatre and Arts Centre, Eve Parnell and Cuivín Mac Unfrey present on Laois Solace or The Sunbeam. And you might remember that last week we brought you the first part of an interview with both of them, Eve the artist, Cuivín the poet, and how they bring together those beautiful works on graphite pencil, on tissue paper. And Cuivín, of course, has responded to those in poetry. Tonight's part of the interview looks at both the poet and the artist and how they complete their work, what their actual process is. I'm also really looking forward to being joined in studio by two members of Athlone Photography Group because they're looking for new members. They'd love you to get involved, and I am really keen to find out what is the thrill of the amateur photography club, apart of course from the camaraderie and all the great people who are involved. And Pig Brain is the title of a play that is doing the rounds of the country at the moment. It's sold out during the Dublin Fringe this year, but it's coming to Dunamace next weekend. And I'll be chatting a little bit later on in the programme to the writer of the show, who is Sam Killian. So I'm really looking forward to bringing you that chat as well. But you may or may not be aware that Scullion are back in action. They have a new album, and it is called Time Has Made a Change in Me. And I'm going to bring you that title track. It's a gorgeous one. You're listening to Encore on Midlands 103. I really hope you enjoyed that. That is Scullion, and it is from a 2022 album that they have released. It's called Time Has Made a Change in Me. Now, they are touring the country, but the closest that they're coming to anywhere in the Midlands is the Solstice Arts Centre in Meath. Otherwise, it's seems to be the edges and the coastlines, but the album is well worth a listen. If you're a Scullion fan, you'll recognise the sound, of course, and if you're new to Scullion, you'll find lots there to enjoy. The Arts Office in County Westmeath have been in touch, and they want to remind you, so you can stay up all night working on your application, that the Westmeath Artists Support Award, which is a collaboration between the Lewin Gallery and Westmeath's Arts Office, which aims to celebrate, showcase and support the development of Westmeath visual artist practice and careers. They have their award closing date tomorrow. So they're inviting submission from artists living in or from Westmeath to submit 2D and 3D works for consideration of the award and inclusion in a group exhibition, and that will take place in December 22 and January 23, and it will present works from the practicing visual artists selected by their guest curator, who is Sarah Searson. And if you are included as an exhibiting artist, you will receive a stipend of €500. And if you are included as an exhibiting artist, you will be considered for one of two professional development awards, which will be announced at the opening of the group exhibition in early December. And it is, the two awards are really wonderful. The first, the Lewin Gallery Visual Arts Development Award, is worth €1,500. You'd be delighted to get it because there's so much included. An exhibition slot in the Lewin Gallery Exhibitions Programme, which will be within 18 months of the end of the residency. There's a residency, as I said, of 3 months in the Abbey Road Artist Studios. There's a studio visit and mentorship session with a curator during that residency, an opportunity to feature in a video clip or podcast highlighting your artwork and your practice, which will be published on Lewin Gallery's website and social channels, and a profile on the Lewin Gallery website and social channels. And the second award is the Lewin Gallery Visual Arts Graduate Development Award, worth €1,000, which also has an exhibition slot in the Lewin Gallery, a residency of 3 months, a studio visit and mentorship session, and a profile on the website. So the application form is there and available. It's on there, the Westmeath County Council. Sorry, it's on the Athlone Arts and Tourism website, athloneartsandtourism.ie/opencall2022. We'll get that for you. Might just be worth staying up all night to get that application ready and sent in for the closing date tomorrow, because that is, in many ways, a life-changing opportunity. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to hear from the writer of an extraordinary play. It sounds hilarious and extraordinary at the same time. It's called Pig Brain, and it is coming to the Dunamase Theatre next weekend. I'll be talking to the writer Sam Killian after the break here on Encore. And you're welcome back to Encore on Midlands 103. And just hearing that promo there for Dean Crow Theatre reminds me that I am really, really looking forward to speaking to one of my favourite writers, performers, singer-songwriters, and that is Alton Conlon, who will be on the programme in a couple of weeks' time. He's performing at the Dean Crow Theatre at the end of the month. Really looking forward to having him on the programme and to chatting to him. He's such a great singer and such a great songwriter. Still to come on the programme, I will be chatting to some of the crew at Athlone Photography Club, and they'll be telling me what makes a great photograph and what's great about amateur photography clubs and how you can be part of the one in Athlone. And I'll also be hearing a little bit more in the show from Eve Parnell, and whose exhibition is continuing at the moment at Bird Theatre. That's all still to come. But for now, isn't Pig Brain a great title for a play? Says it was a great title if you knew what it was about. Well, it is a show that is coming to Portlaoise next weekend. It's one that has sold out, had a full sell-out run at the Dublin Fringe Theatre Festival recently. And its writer is Sam Killian. And when I was talking to him a little bit earlier on this evening, the first thing I asked him, of course, because it is the obvious question, is to tell me about the title, the whys and the wherefores. And this is Sam Killian.
Yeah, so the 2 weeks...
Oh, apologies. Yeah, so the apologies, that's not Sam Killian. That
Pig
is
Brain, the title of the show kind of originates from a series of headlines that myself and the team of Pig Brain, director Anna Chiara Visby and performer Emma Finnegan, we came across these headlines in 2019 about how Elon Musk was putting chips into pigs' brains. And this is ostensibly part of the Neuralink project that he's working on. But we were just so struck by the absurdity of that comment. I believe the actual original headline was Elon Musk has put a chip in Gertrude the pig's brain. And it seemed so visceral and such a crazy sci-fi thing to be happening in our time that we thought we just had to make something about the experience of knowing that piece of information. So really it's a show about a woman who's just caught up in conspiracy theories and caught up in the news cycle. And at the core of it, she has come to believe that Elon Musk is doing terrible, terrible things to pigs. And that she must do something equally terrible in order to stop him.
It's hard to know which part of all of that is more absurd and crazy, except the very real situation that so many people lose themselves to conspiracy theories.
Absolutely.
I suppose that's the challenging part of that, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I think the way the news cycle works today, It's so easy to be overwhelmed, especially when all news, even if it's trying to give you pertinent information to your life, is trying to hit you on an emotional level as well. I think it's very easy for people of all ages to get trapped in like really negative thought patterns pertaining to real life news stories. You know, we can't possibly, I think most people, myself included, can't possibly begin to understand why a microchip should be inserted in a pig's brain. But it does seem quite difficult, I think, in this day and age, to understand whether that is something sinister, whether it's something that has like incredible medical applications on the other end. But yeah, really, it is a show about being caught up in those kind of cycles of spiraling about the world around you.
And I think I just seen today that there's a two-part documentary about Elon Musk going to be aired reasonably soon, I think, on TV. And I'm sure there'll be plenty of crazy, crazy things in that. It goes right back into his childhood. This show has had a sellout run over the course of the Dublin Fringe. Tell me what that was like for yourself and for audiences.
Well, it was really exciting. I mean, we've been working on this idea since before that old novel Coronavirus hit. It's been very, very exciting to bring it to life. I think one thing we've really found is that, like, you know, audiences of all ages and all backgrounds are really, really responding to this story. I think very importantly, it's a comedy at its heart. Like it's told through humor, and I think the character at the core of it is someone who we all know, like someone who's become a bit obsessed about a certain news story, or someone who can't seem to stop thinking about something. So yeah, I think it's a dark show, and it deals with dark topics, but it does so through humor and through comedy, which I think is a really, really important way of dealing with all these big issues that surround us.
And through the performance of Emma Finnegan.
Yes.
Tell us about the electricity and the energy and the moods, I suppose, she brings to this character, who will experience so many different moods over the course
Absolutely.
Of the hour she's on stage.
Well, yeah, it's an hour of a show, and it is an absolute roller coaster of a performance. Emma Finnegan is playing a character who used to be a dancer and an influencer on social media, and now she's been radicalized through reading all of these horrific stories about Elon Musk, and she's become a terrorist, or she's calling herself a terrorist. We're really seeing someone grapple with how she presents herself online, and with a need for attention and a need for connection. So it's full of dancing. It's full of original music by our incredible composer, the electronic artist Tokyo Drift. So really, there's a bit of something for everyone in this show. If you're up for a bop, if you're up for a laugh, maybe even a couple of tears at the end. Can't promise anything.
Well, in order to make us see the world from this character's point of view, and this character is called Voyager, creating that world has to be a really big part of engaging us in the story. Talk to me about the staging of Pig Brain.
Totally. Well, we have a really, really interesting visual world of the show. The set itself is Voyager's bedroom, but our director, Anna Chiara Visby, has worked with two incredible designers, lighting designer Owen Clark and visual designer Ling Heaney, to create a set of projections that kind of run all the way through this show, which kind of play on the online world that Voyager exists in. So it's kind of these like swirling, kaleidoscopic, dreamlike visuals that run all the way through the show, as well as a chat box, which is broadcast huge at the back of the stage, which has all of the different lines that her biggest fan is commenting, because the whole concept of the show is that she's making her final broadcast to the world, and her biggest fan is chatting to her and egging her on and commenting all the way through. So it's a very, very rich visual world, kind of contrasting this like very lived in realistic bedroom set with this totally off the wall kaleidoscopic nightmarish visual playing all the way through.
So off the wall, nightmarish, kaleidoscopic, laughter and tears. Tell me what it was like finally for yourself to write that, and for Emma and Anna Chiara to be part of the workshopping of that, to put yourselves into the mind of a character whom we all kind of like to think is somebody very, very different to us. But I imagine you
totally,
had to
yeah.
look for a way to find a way into that mind to make her relatable to us.
I think so, yeah. I mean, it was a long process, which I think really, really benefited us. I think she's a character who we've kind of really fallen in love with, and I think that's what we really want audiences to feel, because I think everyone kind of goes through this thing when they encounter her in every show, where she seems like as you say, like someone who we'd never want to be, someone like annoying and attention seeking, and like prone to like fits of mania and depression. But like over the course of the show, you really do fall in love with her as she kind of talks more about where she's coming from and why exactly she's in this place. I think one of the big parts about the show is that, you know, we all of us spend so much time online now, whether it's actually on social media or even just reading the news or reading articles or columns or anything like that. And what we're all really hoping to do, like the promise of the internet, is that we can connect with each other and that we can communicate a bit better, and that we can hope to try and let people understand why we are the way we are. But why is it then that the internet fails us on that so much, and it actually drives us apart so much more than it brings us together? I think that's what people are really, really reacting to. And it's certainly what we're reacting to when we're working with a character who on paper is so annoying and so frustrating, and you want to get up out of the seat and shake her. But it's hard not to fall in love with someone like that, I think.
And Voyager is the character that Sam Killian is talking about. The play is called Pig Brain, and it's on next Friday night, the 21st of October, at the Dunham Mace Theatre. And you can get your tickets there at dunhammace.ie. If you're not in the vicinity of Portlaoise next Friday night, but you fancy doing something in Athlone, you could head along to the table quiz that is being organised by Athlone Photography Club. And I have two of the members here in studio. We'll be chatting to them after the break here on Encore on Midlands 103. And you're welcome back to Encore. Still to come on the programme, we'll be chatting to Eve Parnell. We'll be bringing you the second part of that interview from Burr Theatre about the exhibition that is happening there at the moment. But I am joined in studio this evening by two members of Athlone Photography Club. You're both very welcome. Ciara Kinnearney.
Thanks very much.
Who needs no introduction at all. And Sébastien Roland, who is from Moat, but who has been a member of the Photography Club in Athlone for the last 4 or 5 years, nearly 5 years at this stage. Both of you ended up being involved in the Photography Club because of an interaction that you had with Liam Kidney. Yeah, tell us a bit about that, Ciara.
Well, I suppose I'm doing photography a good while, and I really wanted to kind of advance. So I did a course that I heard about from Sébastien, and it was by Liam Kidney, who is a professional photographer in Athlone. Mm-hmm. And he's great. He does all types of stuff. He's a professional wedding photographer. But yeah, he was given a course in Athlone. So we went over there and we, I suppose, did that course. And that was the start of our journey.
And likewise for you, you...
Yeah, I had a course with Liam Kidney in 2018, and it was a beginner's course. And at the end of it, Liam invited some of us to join the camera club. And I never left since.
What is the attraction of a camera club, of a photography club?
It's for me, I mean, it's really the opportunity to practice, because after a course, I'd say 50% of our members, you know, just left the camera on the desk. And in my case, it allowed me to take the camera everywhere I went and take photos. And yeah, I love taking photos wherever I go. So
okay, and yeah. you have a camera.
Yeah, a real camera.
A real camera.
I actually bought a new one since the course, you know, because I felt I started being limited. And it's a proper one. And
Okay, and yeah. Ciara, what about you?
For the club, oh God, I find it's just, like, photography is great. It's like when you learn, the more you learn about it, the more you start to look at things differently, and it, you learn how to see things with a camera, and you can compose different ways, and you can learn different techniques, you can learn different styles. Last night we had a talker, Kevin Lim.
Yeah.
And he's a street photographer, but also a commercial photography, or commercial photographer for fashion as well.
Yeah.
But his passion is street photography. And the passion really came across, and he was, it was so interesting. Whether you're into street photography or not, you could come away with something. So over the last 2 years, I found that during lockdown, it was a great, I suppose, release and a bit of a relief from all of the lockdown that we had. A different speaker every 2 weeks. But with lockdown, we were able to get people like David Duchemin. We were able to get like James Crombie came over. He's been over with us a few times. Thanks very much, James. And because I bet he listens all the time.
I'm sure he does.
Oh, so, free, yeah.
And but with the speakers are amazing. And I think that, yeah, just the members are great. Everyone has such a different style. Like we have Ken, who's, you know, like myself, into music photography. We've got like landscape photographers. And Sebastian is great. He's got such a kind of a broad, diverse, genre, wouldn't it be?
Like, I'm interested in everything, actually. I love landscape. I love music photography and portrait. I'm not that good, but I like environmental portrait, you know, like people doing actions. You know, I think you'd be, Claire, you'd be a good portrait photography, you know.
You think? Well, we had Kira. Kira was there. I was envying her selfie-taking skills. And we're on Instagram now, aren't we?
We're on Instagram, absolutely, at Athlone Photography.
At Athlone Photography. Absolutely. Club. There you go. And I'm admiring your long arms, your ability.
Angles.
To take the, yeah. And angles, of course, obviously, the ability to take the take a selfie that I can't take. But I do have, probably, at the moment, on my phone, probably about 12,000 photos. Lots of them that I should get rid of. But I am the auntie at the family events who's going around with the camera all the time with my phone taking photos. Should I invest in a camera? Do I need one to be part of a camera club?
No. Your camera is, I think Paul Morris would have said this to me as well. It was like the best camera you have is the one that you have with you.
Okay.
And it's always a case of you can get, you know, there's a gadget addiction for some people where, you know, you don't get excited unless you have like a new lens or a new gadget to play with. But I think I love a new camera. If you have, whatever you have is good.
Okay.
So whether it's, there's pro modes on all of your phones. But then when you feel like you want to move into the DSLR range and get a camera where you can start to play around with things and get bigger quality, higher quality pictures, it's fun. It is really good. So I think start off small, you know.
Okay.
Try it out.
That's your experience, is it? Because you just say you've got a new camera. And what are you hoping that this will bring to you and to your photographs?
Oh, it really improved. I could really take more photos, dark photos, in the dark, I mean. So while my former camera was very limited, and so this one is actually much better for taking photos when it's twilight and...
Okay.
Even for, you know, gigs or whatever, it's it's much better than what I had when I started. But I know a lot of people who take, you know, absolutely great photos with a mobile phone. And I mean, Paul Moore is a good example, as you said. And so if you're good with a mobile phone, you know, maybe you don't need to.
It's either The Guardian or The Observer has on a Saturday morning or Sunday morning in its magazine, one of the, just inside the cover, there is photos taken on a phone. But generally professional photographers who have managed to take amazing, incredible photos on their phones. But the trick is, as you were saying there, Kira, they know the angles. They know the different modes on their phone. They know what they can make their phones do as opposed to just point and click.
Yeah. Where you can go around, and I'm guilty of having thousands of cameras, thousands of photos on cameras that, you know, probably will never see the light of day because there's just so many that you can take. But definitely, if you have an eye, the more you take and the more you look at it objectively, there is always a chance where if you just move your camera around a little bit differently to the way you normally take it, try it from a different angle, try, you know, the rule of thirds, try like geometry in it, try use shadows, try to use the light, like Sebastian is saying, when you shoot in the dark, you can have real fun things. Like if you want to shine a light maybe far away and it causes silhouettes. So there's so many different like fun things you can do with simple ideas. starting from the phone. But then thing is, Claire, you get addicted and then you kind of have to say, I need a bigger camera, guys.
Yeah, but yeah. You also probably think, I know what I want this image to look like, and I may have to come back day after day after day. I saw an image on Twitter just the last couple of days that somebody had taken of a kingfisher just about to hit the water. So you had the reflection of the kingfisher in the water and you had the bird, and it was just barely tipping the way. It was a stunning photo, but the caption said it had taken 720,000 photos to get that perfect photo. So when you say it becomes an addiction, I hear you.
Yeah.
And James Cromie, of course, would say that, you know, but the murmurations, I suppose.
That's right. I think he spent 6 months, wasn't it, going out every evening. So that's, with everybody's busy lifestyles.
Yeah, every evening he was going there, and
it's great work.
And one day, boom, you know.
So. Yeah. Yeah. So how often does Athlone Photography Club meet?
Once a week, every 2 weeks.
No.
Oh, every Wednesday. No, I say that weird.
Oh, yeah, so it's once a week.
Every Wednesday night.
Every second Wednesday night.
Every second Wednesday.
Yeah.
So are you meeting...
Claire's putting it in her diary now, so she's going to be there.
Are you meeting next Wednesday or the week after?
The week after, and we have actually a critique night the week after. So
give me the date for that so that if people are listening, they can pop that in their phones.
That is going to be the 21st. That's our pub quiz. Not our pub
26,
quiz.
26, yeah. 26th of October.
And that is...
So we're going to have a critique night, actually, and we are inviting somebody from a camera club in Galway.
Okay.
Her name is Sigita Playdon, and she's going to critique some of our photos. You know, our members submitted 3 photos each, and we're going to have an external person, you know, judging them and telling, you know, what we did right and what we did wrong and how we can improve. And that's, you know, a very popular event that we have.
People like expert feedback. To see something.
And it's much better actually to invite somebody external, you know, at least, you know, we you know, there's no favour or, you know.
No, there's absolutely no favour.
And you get somebody else.
You get
else's
a little
eye.
Score, you get a little comment, and, you know,
that's
it's
great.
Like back at school, but, you know, it's great and you learn a lot from it.
You have a full programme up now up until till the end of March.
We still have to book a few meetings next year, but, you know, we're very well prepared anyway. So we are full up to January. Even January, I know more or less what we're going to have, but, you know, it's not official yet.
So I can see that last night you had Surreal Street Photography,
with Kevin
an outdoor
Lim,
trip. You have Wildlife and Nature Photography. Mm-hmm. You'll have Seascape and Landscape editing. And you have challenges. And tell me finally about the competitions that you run, because they're a great draw.
They are actually, it's quite exciting. And it's actually the thing that keeps you focused a little bit, because at the end of the year, there is a photographer of the year. And then you've got like categories. It's a lot of categories, but like we always get something at the end. Now, I didn't realise this earlier and I didn't put in enough photos. So this year I am pumped. I'm going to have mine in. They're in already. So you put in pictures, you get put into certain categories. So you got novice, intermediate and advanced. And each year you can kind of progress through the club. And it's great. The feedback from those judges, like Sebastian is saying, is really helpful, very important. And they have a good eye.
Okay, so you met last night. So that means the next night is the 26th.
Yes.
And do I just rock up if I'm interested on the 26th, or should I drop a line by email, or what do I do?
I'll pick
if
you
I'm
up,
curious?
Claire, and bring you over. No, it's good. No. I will. Come on in.
And where do people come into?
We meet every second Wednesday in the Abbey Road Studio Artist.
Okay.
It's there beside the Radisson.
Exactly.
Abbey Road Studios. What time?
From 7:30, we're asking people to come early so we can start at 8 sharp.
Cup of tea and coffee beforehand and a few
biscuits. And biscuits,
biscuits also a great draw.
Exactly, yeah.
So Abbey Road Studios, the 7:30 for a start, kick off at 8 o'clock.
Yes.
Meeting goes approximately.
No need to bring your own biscuits.
Hour, 2 hours.
All kinds of different options, different speakers, and you do have beautiful photos on the website. And there's an email address there also if people have some questions.
Absolutely.
And the table quiz on Friday night. Plug the table quiz quickly. Off you go.
Absolutely. Pub table quiz is in the Bounty Bar in Athlone, 21st of October. And that is from 8:30 p.m. So come in about 7:30. You know, get the table sorted. And it is €10 a head.
Yes.
And we've got a few spot prizes and a bit
Happy
of crack
days.
On the night.
Happy days. Well, Sebastian Roland and Ciara Kinnearney, thank you both so much for coming in to talk to us this evening.
Thanks for having us. An absolute pleasure.
Yeah. Pleasure. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I will bring you some of the second part of that interview with Eve Parnell. We won't get it all in, but sure, every little bit counts. You're listening to Encore on Midlands 103. Since we last spoke, Ciara Kinnearney has been fixing my phone so that I can actually make printable photos. You have to go join a camera club is the message there. You're welcome back to Encore. As you remember from last week's show, we heard an interview that was carried out by Gilda Le Payac. And I know I have pronounced that now in the presence of a Frenchman. I'm very sorry to Gilda and also to Sebastian, who is still here. But he spoke at the Art Centre in Burr to Eve Parnell and Cuivín Mac Unfric. Eve is the artist and Cuivín the poet who responded to her drawings. So here the interview picks up with Eve describing her own particular process.
Yeah, so the 2 weeks, I suppose, it begins with the composition. So choosing the subject matter and, studying it and getting the composition right, because these are not copies of anything. They're original drawings which I've composed in my mind and then transferred onto the paper. And they're all pencil and they're all on a lovely, heavy paper. And in fact, it's very like the paper that the prints are on, which is a lovely Hanamul rag paper, and they're printed with archival inks. So the pencil marks have been magnificently recreated. I mean, they're absolutely perfect, and it's hard actually to tell that these aren't the drawings in some cases. So they are beautifully reproduced, and I'm so happy with them. Really, I don't know if I prefer the prints or the drawings more now. But, so they're pencil. And they're very... One of the things that I like to do is I use simple tools and that they're accessible to everybody. So there's pencils all over the place. And it doesn't matter what kind of pencil you use. I really encourage people to engage with art. And whether it's writing or drawing, pick up a pencil and just start making marks. And if it's on the back of an envelope from the bank, just do it. You know, it's really important, and it's very good for people to make marks. So that's one of the things, one of the themes of my work is simple tools that are accessible to everybody. And that's something about this exhibition. It's accessible to everybody, and I think it would appeal to a lot of people.
Cuivín, once you received all of those images, how did you go about producing the poems?
Well, ekphrastic poetry needs to either describe or stem from the object concerned, and some might see that as a limitation or on the freedom of the poet, and maybe even on the authenticity of a poem. But I do think it's a genre, and it's quite specific. But in order to be an honest piece of work from the wellspring of poetry, it has to have its roots in the drawing and in the emotion or impact that the drawing made on you. So the first thing is just to observe the drawing carefully and recognize what it makes you think, or what your feelings or what memories it evokes, and then to try and capture that in a drawing. And like I said, that poem would be related then in an honest, genuine fashion to the drawing. So I have, I believe, an example in relation to Eve's drawing of the duck, a mallard. Clearly, its pose is unnatural. I know we're on radio here and I'm trying to describe a drawing. People will have to come to the exhibition to see what I mean. But although it's not clear, is this duck dead or alive? It's clearly in an unnatural pose, in a moment of maybe being struck by shot, or maybe it's pinioned on the table of a farmyard. Those are the things I started thinking of. And I felt initially that that drawing evoked pity and sadness, but that in itself is not enough for a poem. And the other thing, quite frankly, is that I kept thinking of the word duck. Because it's a duck and there's nothing more complex than that. And the word duck reminded me of a Latin class that I was in when I was in school. And in that Latin class, we had a lesson on the Latin imperative. And there are four irregular verbs, dic, duck, fer, fac. And our Latin teacher had challenged us at the time, 20 years ago, had challenged us to produce a mnemonic that would allow us to remember the Latin imperative, dic, duck, fer, fac. And the winner in that class was the one who came up with the following mnemonic, dic, duck, fer, fac, forget that and you'll get a whack. I've never forgotten it. It's a way to remember the Latin imperative. I started thinking duck and quack and whack. I started rhyming whack with quack. I said, like, this is the process, but obviously that's sort of cartoonish and not the right tone for the sadness of the drawing. But then I started thinking about the Latin and I realised, well, dic, to speak, duck, to lead, fer, to carry, and fac, to make. And I realised that that the idea that you would carry.
And there you go.
So I realised that the Latin of speak, lead, carry, and do, dic, duck, fer, fac. And I started thinking then that, there might be another meaning. I looked at, well, to carry is also to bear in English, and bear in English also, in addition to, like, to bear a cross, to suffer, to and clearly this animal has suffered in the drawing. So I went from the verb carry to the verb bear, and then I went from the verb to do to the verb make. So fac instead of to do is to make. And suddenly then, frankly, in poetry construction, you look for rhymes, and I had make and drake. And then I put it together into a short four-line poem, and it goes as follows. Dick, duck, fair, fac, speak, lead, bear, make, but mainly bear, friend, drake. And I realised that by when I sent it to Eve as an example of what we might do for the exhibition, and she sent it back to me superimposed on the drawing as she envisaged it would go, and I feel that it turns a sad drawing into a tragedy. It's a tragic drawing, and it's a far more, what it actually does is transport the drawing. It's the Latin connection. It makes it feel old. Somehow it works, and somehow I think it's exactly what we mean by an ekphrastic poem, and of particular interest, I think, is that the poem makes absolutely no sense without the drawing. If you were to see that poem on its own or hear that poem on its own, it, without this background or without actually beholding the poor animal concerned, it makes no sense. And so therefore it is completely dependent on Eve's artwork for my poem to stand up at all.
And there you go. That is the exhibition that is happening at the moment at the Burr Theatre and Arts Centre. And you can catch up with it up until the end of November. Eve Parnell speaking in that interview as well. That is it for me for this evening. Thank you so much to my guests. Next week we start looking at Hullabaloo, which is coming to Offaly at the end of the month during the midterm break. You'll be looking forward to that, I know. The great Joe Cooney is in the building. We'll be here with the best of Irish and American country music after the news at 8 o'clock. Till next week, take care of yourself. Good night.